looks like Piper will stay and build the Piper Jet in Vero Beach. The FAA announces raises for its employees. And British Airways starts a new transatlantic subsidiary. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 10th, 2008. There's been no official confirmation from Piper, but a city official in Vero Beach, Florida says it appears very likely Piper aircraft will remain in the city instead of relocating its headquarters and upcoming Piper Jet Manufacturing Center to one of two alternate, less hurricane-prone locations. The Palm Beach Post reports officials in Indian River County are expected to vote next week on a $12 million incentive package to keep the plane maker in Vero Beach. The deal follows months of negotiations described as intense. As ANN reported, Piper was also looking at sites in Oklahoma City and Albuquerque, New Mexico, cities that in recent years have seen booms in their aerospace industries. In the end, it looks as if the prospect of relocating the entire company was even less attractive to Piper than the thought of more hurricanes. Or, as Indian River County Commission Chairman Gary Wheeler put it, quote, "They were looking, I believe, at tremendous expense for relocating, retraining, moving people. They've been here 50 years. They've got 1,100 trained employees that do their job well," unquote. Piper is the largest private employer in Vero Beach, and the city stands to gain 500 more jobs when the Piper Jet plant is built. Piper spokesman Steve Johnson would say only that Piper was still considering its options. The FAA announced on Tuesday its employees will get a raise of just over 3% this year. An additional adjustment for geographical differences in cost of living, averaging 1%, and additional raises based on job performance. The news affects the 85% or so of FAA employees covered by pay-for-performance rules. Acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill says the workforce has fallen short of key agency performance goals for on-time arrivals, customer satisfaction, and financial management, which prevented that 3.08% raise from being higher. The FAA's core compensation system, which covers FAA managers, supervisors, and employees at headquarters and regional offices, will raise the maximum salaries in its pay band system by 2.5%, a move the agency claims will keep its pay competitive. The changes are not likely to appease the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, which has complained that a cut in the starting pay of controllers of 30% made by the FAA a year ago has left the system unable to lure enough new trainees. British Airways says it will debut a new subsidiary in June, flying routes made possible by a new agreement between the European Union and the U.S. The airline will even be named Open Skies after the agreement between the EU and the U.S. Department of Transportation. Ticket prices and other details have not been announced, but BA says it will fly specially configured Boeing 757s. The plane is normally set up for 200 passengers, but BA will instead outfit it for business, premium economy, and economy classes, totaling just 82 seats to provide more room. The seats in business class will recline to become flat, 6-foot-long beds. The 6 757s planned for use by Open Skies will all come from the existing BA fleet. British Airways has promoted its former worldwide sales director, Dale Moss, to managing director of Open Skies. He told the AFP News Service the new airline will offer, quote, "fantastic prices," unquote, but he did not elaborate. Southwest Airlines said last year it expected to revise its growth plan downward to match a slowing U.S. economy. On Wednesday, the airline fleshed that general statement out with specific announcements. Reuters reports that while existing routes will be preserved, 57 individual flights will be dropped and 40 others added. 17 of those new flights will serve Denver, making life more difficult for United and Frontier. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly's official statement said in part, quote, "We want our flight schedule to be built around flights that are in high demand," unquote. Southwest is unusual among U.S. airlines in that it has been consistently profitable, and while most airlines have announced capacity reductions in 2008, Southwest said it would increase available seats by 4-5%. Up next on ANN, Russia officially opens Space Race, the sequel. NASA says the shuttle will visit the Hubble telescope only one more time. And Embraer says 2007 was a big year for little jets, too. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 10th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. When the U.S. landed the first man on Earth's moon in 1969, it seemed as if that would, once and for all, elevate the U.S. to winner of the space race. But now, the moon is looking more and more like just a preliminary heat. Russian Space Research Institute Director Lev Zelyony tells the Interfax news agency Russia is planning to launch a manned mission to Mars no later than 2025, which would put it 12 years ahead of the most optimistic U.S. plans for the Red Planet. Zelyony says, quote, "We have something of a head start in this race, as we have the most experience in piloted spaceflight," unquote. Both U.S. and Russian space exploration are mere shells of what they were in the 1960s, but Russia is shaking off the hangover of the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991 and getting its space program back in gear, and Zelyony isn't shy about admitting what motivates him and his countrymen. Quote, "We lost the race to the moon," unquote. No, Lev, actually it looks more like you're one run behind in the bottom of the first inning. NASA says there will be only one more space shuttle mission in support of the Hubble Space Telescope. The agency hopes to fly that mission in August of this year and says it will have a daunting agenda. Offering details in an announcement on Tuesday, NASA said STS-125 will equip the orbiting observatory with far greater capabilities than it ever had before to explore the nature and history of our universe. Atlantis will carry a crew of 7 astronauts and equipment, tools, and new instruments to Hubble, as well as an IMAX camera to record the historic mission. The Hubble repair flight will be the first time since the Columbia tragedy in 2003, and the last time ever that a NASA shuttle will fly a mission without docking at the International Space Station. Alan Stern is the Associate Administrator for the Science Mission Directorate at NASA headquarters in Washington. Quote, "Hubble is, without exaggeration, a national treasure. I think Americans are going to be excited when they see the results of this exciting shuttle mission flower into new discoveries about the solar system and the larger universe we live in," unquote. The 11-day mission will include 5 spacewalks to install 2 powerful new science instruments, a new set of the gyroscopes that help stabilize the telescope, and batteries and thermal blankets to extend Hubble's operational life until at least 2013. If all goes well, a degrading fine guidance sensor unit, 1 of 3 aboard Hubble, will be replaced with a refurbished unit to help maintain the telescope's ability to point and focus on astronomical objects throughout the universe. It could be years after this mission before U.S. astronauts can return to work on Hubble. David Lacroney, Hubble senior project scientist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, frames the importance of STS-125. Quote, "Our goal for this mission is to leave Hubble at the apex of its scientific capabilities," unquote. Year-end sales and production numbers for Boeing and Airbus always make big news, but 2007 is looking to have been a great year for regional jets, too. Embraer reports it made good on its goal to deliver between 165 and 170 aircraft for the year. The Brazilian plane maker delivered 61 commercial, executive, and government-use jets during the fourth quarter of 2007, resulting in total deliveries for the year of 169 jets. That's its biggest total ever. Embraer also touts a record order backlog of $18.8 billion, meaning production lines should be humming for quite a while. Embraer is raising the bar again. The company says it expects to deliver between 195 and 200 aircraft in both 2008 and 2009, not including deliveries of its new Phenom 100 very light jet. Dublin-based aircraft lessor AWOS has signed a firm contract for 75 Airbus A320 family aircraft, bringing its Airbus portfolio to a total of 145 planes, including single-aisle and long-range aircraft. The order marks the first new order for Airbus in 2008, meaning it will not count toward the 2007 sales total. That's expected to be announced next week. Airbus sales guru John Leahy told the Wall Street Journal the AWOS order was signed on December 22nd, but the initial payment didn't hit the bank until this month. The planes are valued at $6.9 billion based on list prices, and the order includes options on 25 additional frames. It's likely AWOS received a big price break for that volume. AWOS is the third largest aircraft leasing company in the world and has a diversified selection of commercial aircraft that includes a mix of Airbus and Boeing planes. AWOS also signed a contract for 31 Boeing 737-800s last month. Still ahead, Phil Boyer plans a town hall meeting this weekend in St. Augustine. Leaks from the kitchen knock out electrical power on a 747. And military procurement irregularities are probed in the Philippines. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 10th, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. Phil Boyer, president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, plans to visit St. Augustine Airport in Florida this weekend in what will be a major event for area pilots and general aviation enthusiasts. The St. Augustine Airport Pilots Association and Airport Authority, along with local FBO Galaxy Aviation, tell ANN they are honored Boyer chose the St. Augustine Airport for a town meeting-style presentation this weekend. The meeting is scheduled Saturday at noon, and all area pilots, aircraft enthusiasts, and the general public are invited. Event organizers note every person in America depends on general aviation, including shipping packages and key factory production parts, protecting crops, catching animals, life flight of seriously injured or ill patients and organ transplants to hospitals, real estate surveying, and future business location scouting. There are over 32,000 AOPA members in the state of Florida. Australia's Transport Safety Bureau and Civil Aviation Safety Authority, Boeing, and Qantas are all involved in an investigation into an incident Monday in which a Qantas 747 flying 344 passengers from London to Bangkok lost main electrical power during its descent. The Australian reports a cracked drip tray below the plane's first-class galley allowed water to drip into a generator control unit. Cabin lighting went out, but cockpit functions continued on battery power to allow an otherwise routine landing. The paper quoted unnamed aviation sources who said the battery backup system, which is supposed to guarantee 30 minutes of operation to critical systems, probably would have lasted more like an hour, but the situation would still have been grave if it happened when the plane was more than an hour from a suitable landing site. David Cox, Qantas Executive General Manager for Engineering, told the Australian he expects the incident to prompt an alert to other operators of the plane from Boeing, and possibly regulatory action. Back in September, the Philippine government requested bids to provide 6 new attack helicopters to aid in the fight against communist rebels and Islamic militants. Boeing partner Asian Aerospace Corporation won that bidding, but now the government is investigating irregularities. Undersecretary Ariston Delos Reyes, a retired Navy admiral, told Reuters that Defense Secretary Gilberto Teodoro had given him until January 21st to probe complaints from Poland, one of the other bidders, that, quote, certain rules in the bidding procedures were ignored to favor one bidder over the others, unquote. Interviews with officials have yet to begin. Reuters reports that most of the 85 UH-1H and 22 MG-520 helicopters in the Philippine fleet are Vietnam-era equipment donated by the U.S. to help the country fight rebels. Only half are now said to be in flying condition. And finally, officials at Lincoln Airport in Nebraska spent Wednesday trying to figure out how to get a chartered Boeing 737 out of the mud. The AP reports the plane arrived in the morning, carrying the University of Texas women's basketball team for a game Wednesday night against the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. After a normal landing, the pilot said he'd lost hydraulics and couldn't steer. The plane finally stopped in mud about 100 yards from the terminal. No injuries were reported and no damage to the jet so far, other than a blown 2-foot length of hose. But Airport Executive Director John Wood said, quote, "He's not going anywhere for a while. We're trying to figure out how to tackle this." A team spokeswoman said most of the college students did not wake from their sleep during the incident, which avoided any panic. And there is an upside to this story. It's been warm enough to have mud in Lincoln in January. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's part two of my conversation with Kate Hanai of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. We'll hear about the passenger tales of woe which came into the Coalition's toll-free lines over the holidays, and hear about new legislative progress on the issue of passenger strandings. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.